In order for us to have the courage to lean into something scary, there's healing that needs to happen. And like, what is keeping you stuck in that place where you're feeling so scared to make a mistake or so scared to make the wrong decision or take the wrong path, you know?
Right.
So it's a journey of personal growth and personal leadership.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Own Your Awkward podcast. I am just excited. I'm always excited about the people that we have, but today we have a true gem. It's Jennifer Jane Young. Jennifer's with the School of Intuitive Leadership, and I met her through another amazing connection friend of mine, through Megan Miller. And Jennifer, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. How's things going for you? We're just glad to have you here. What's exciting in your life?
Oh my goodness. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm so happy Megan introduced us. She is a superstar at connecting the right people together. What am I excited about right now? I'm really excited about being 40. I'm going to turn 40 in June, and like, I feel like my whole life plans are revolving around that right now. Mm-hmm. I've dreamed of being 40 since I'm a teenager. I don't know why. It just always felt like an important milestone in my life. So yeah, I think that's what I'm the most excited about right now.
That is exciting. That's congratulations. Happy birthday coming up.
Thank you.
That's a fun thing. 40 is the magic number for you, huh?
I think it really is. And my tarot reader has been telling me for years that it is as well. So
this is going to be a breakthrough year for you then. That's awesome.
I hope so.
I think it's interesting how you mentioned that since you've been a kid, that's been what you've been looking forward to. And I don't know if you have thought behind the why into why that is. I feel like when I was a kid, there were ages that seemed like you would have it. You would be an adult. You would actually be an adult and I don't know if there's anything like that tied to it.
But. Yeah, I think I've always felt a sense of freedom in my 40s. Like it just, I knew that there was going to be some sort of freedom in those years that I will have worked towards somehow. Okay. I don't really know, like, part of it feels like it's going to be a surprise to see why this age has been so important for me for such a long time. Mm-hmm. I think I'm very aware now that like everything I have gone through in my life so far has prepared me for this next chapter, you know, the 40s.
Sure. Yeah.
And I see and feel the 40s as being the years that are going to be where I really fall into alignment with what is best for me, what brings me the most joy, with way less insecurity.
Mm, sure. I like that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that idea of like things, just knowing that that's when things are going to come into alignment. And this thought ran through my head about, as you were saying that, how we can have this excitement for what's to come, even though we don't know it. We don't know what the thing will be, but to have this joy around the curiosity.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're always looking for confirmation of what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this, we don't like to be in the unknown space.
Right.
If we really stop to think about it, like if we were just delivered all this information, life would be so boring.
Right. Yeah.
It would be so boring. Like why are we working so hard to plan every minute of our life moving forward? I think it's just meant to be a surprise, and that's what's exciting about life.
Yeah, and it's all part of the journey. And so like you said, I don't want to have it all played out before me and then feel like I'm living a rerun.
Exactly. It's like when I think about this, and I've shared this often with my clients, Imagine when you're a kid sitting down on Christmas morning in front of the tree with everything wrapped, and there's like a tag on it that tells you exactly what's in there. It just ruins everything.
Yeah. That's a really good analogy, because then you're just going through the motion.
Just going through the motion.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, that's an exciting thing. That's fun. I'm going to put you on the spot with one more question here about life. I like to start out asking my guests just to get some perspective. You've got the 40s coming up. That's really positive and exciting. But what's the other most positive thing you see out there in the world today?
What I see right now that's the most positive, and it's post-COVID, is people coming together in collaboration. I can really feel, like in the business world in particular, I can really feel things shifting. And I think that's what we're being invited into. And there's a lot of people that are really stepping into that. And I've personally been experiencing more collaboration in the last year than I ever have in, wow. Like I've been in business for 13 years now. Mm-hmm. And like, there is this community feeling coming into the entrepreneurial world. And I just feel like the more we do that, the more we can create success together, impact together. And it's just so much more fun. Like, we were very isolated before in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that feels really exciting to me. And every time I meet somebody new and interesting, like when we met, like for me, there's always an opportunity there for collaboration in some way.
Right.
And I've just felt personally that has shifted just how I feel, you know, waking up every day and jumping into my business. It's so much more fun.
Definitely. And I feel like when we're working as a community, it gives a greater purpose that's beyond just us trying to be that entrepreneur that's trying to make money for ourselves or to get by. And when we bring it together, it's bigger.
Yeah. And I feel it helps to enjoy the process more. And it's not this journey anymore of like this one individual getting to the top. It's like all of us,
right,
you know, moving forward together and creating success together and celebrating our success together. You know what I mean?
It's not. Yeah, definitely. And I feel like I didn't really know or understand what the word collaborate was before COVID. You know, people would reach out, it's like, oh, we should collaborate, we should collab, we should do something. But it was always very transactional. And it was very much, well, if I do this for you, you do that for me. More like buying a used car. And now I feel like the intent is so much better when it's, hey, how can we help each other out? How can we support each other? It doesn't always have to even be an exchange of funds or anything. It's just, how can we all, you know, support the same community that we're in?
Exactly. And it's more about an energetic exchange. And when we think about it, like, money is energy. So I think we're coming back to the essence of sort of what the human experience is supposed to be. And you're right. Like, before COVID, it was very transactional, and COVID really, in a way, I think, opened us up to, like, I just remember, it's such a silly example, but I remember when I got COVID, I had just come back to Mexico to live, and I was in my house by myself. It was my birthday actually last year.
Oh no.
And you know, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go out to buy groceries. I couldn't do anything. So like, one of my best friends here, she would come deliver me groceries, and then we'd have like a chat from the balcony. And all these people stepping in to like support me in that moment, just to support me. Like, it was,
yeah.
We learned a lot through those last few years, even though it was really challenging as well.
Definitely. There were, you know, it's cliche to say the silver linings or whatnot, but I think that's reflective of the things we go through in life too. Like, we have to take the good things, take the lessons, take the growth that come with it, because that's what the struggle is for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, growth and transformation are never comfortable. It is an uncomfortable process.
Mm-hmm.
Just like moving through those years of COVID was extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And there's purpose behind that discomfort. Mm-hmm. And if we can kind of soften into whatever moment we're going through in life, whatever growth, whatever transformation, like we don't have to suffer so much if we can just learn to soften into those moments.
Right. Yeah, there are, I've learned to, you know, in my hardest moments when I'm crying my head into my pillow, just say, I'm growing. Like, I am growing right now. And just like, I don't know what this is turning into, but yeah. Just kind of celebrate the process and be able to realize that this is getting you somewhere and there will be a benefit to it. And just like your 40s, you don't know what that benefit's going to be. And if we try to have that expectation of I should get this for going through that, then I'm just setting myself up for letdown.
Exactly. And again, it's like this needing to know what, mm-hmm. why, and what it's for, instead of just being comfortable in the unknown space, right? Which is like exactly right. What we do in the school is like playing in that unknown space where it's scary and it is filled with unlimited potential. So, and I'm very much like you when I'm like having those moments, I always say that like, I always have a breakdown before a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just, even though it's hard, I try to embrace the breakdowns as much as possible.
Yeah.
I'm human. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm super angry about whatever's happening.
For sure. Yeah. It's natural.
But there's wisdom in anger also. So none of it is bad, really.
Yeah. I've started, referring to it as cocooning, because if you look at what a caterpillar goes through, like when they go into a cocoon, they their whole body breaks down to nothing, and it's like they could think they're dying, and
yes,
they have to go through that to emerge as this beautiful butterfly. So I have moments where I'm like, I'm cocooning, and pretty soon I will be a beautiful butterfly.
Just a beautiful butterfly. Yeah. Right,
what will my wings look like? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Jen, I really appreciate your insight. You have such a great view on life, which I think really feeds into what you're doing. And we're going to learn a little bit about that in a minute. But first, we'd love to learn about, why are you so awkward? What is your awkward thing you've had to own?
Oh, my goodness. I think there's two things that I've had to own in my awkwardness. One is my hypersensitivity to everything. I'm a very open channel. I'm extremely sensitive. I feel everything. I feel what you're feeling through the screen. I feel what my dogs are feeling. I feel what my neighbors are feeling. I'm like, it can be a little bit overwhelming sometimes. So I would say like that has felt very awkward for me in my life, because I've always had these moments where I have a lot of big feelings, a lot of big emotions. A lot of people just telling me like, just relax. Like, don't take all this so seriously. I'm like, yeah, but you don't feel what I'm feeling.
Right. So
that has been one part. And then the other part has just been, you know, from a young age, I was never able to fit into any kind of box that society had to offer. You know, I really suffered in school. I really struggled in school. I've done several programs in college. You know, I went from interior design to early childhood educator. I've had so many different jobs and like this constant unfulfillment and frustration. And I actually remember when I was young, like I would try a lot of things, right? So, you know, I did judo and I did figure skating and I did all these things. And I would just stop when it didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. At a very young age, I knew when I just didn't want to continue something. And I remember one day coming back from figure skating with my mom, and I had decided that like this, I didn't want to do this. This was not my thing. And we walked into my aunt's house, and my mom just started talking to my aunt and my uncle, saying that I was not going to continue figure skating. And my uncle just said, there we go. Jenny quits again.
Oh, no.
And I have this story in my head, like I've never forgotten about it. And in that moment, like it made me feel so broken and like such a failure. So My story has been like, I've actually felt broken most of my life. Like there's something wrong with me. Until I found entrepreneurship. And I just started creating my own damn life however I wanted to create.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, now when I think back to that sentence that my uncle said, I have like a lot of gratitude and it makes me laugh because I'm like, yeah, I'm going to quit something that doesn't feel right. Like that is still what I do today.
Yeah. I love that you can take such a pivotal statement and moment in your life from such a young age and embrace it and have that be this thing that you're now celebrating to say, yeah, right. That there's no way that I'm going to stay with something that makes me miserable.
Exactly. And this is what I think part of my purpose and my work is to make sure that people don't settle for something that doesn't feel good or aligned. Because we don't need to. There are infinite possibilities of what is available to us. So
now, you mentioned that statement and that feeling in the moment, and then getting to the point where you are an entrepreneur and you realize that that can be celebrated. How long do you have any grasp of how long you had to sit with that thought where you had that brokenness feeling of like, ah, this is like, was it years? Was it an instant? Nope, I'm strong Jenny and I'm not going to do this. Or was it, you know, years later and you go, you know what? Now I see that this makes sense.
It was years. I mean, I still get moments where I'm like, oh no, am I broken? And then I'm like, oh no, I'm not broken. I still get these little moments sometimes, you know, I think it's just part of being human and having a brain and a nervous system. Unfortunately, fortunately they're fabulous when they're working for us, but our brain and nervous system, when they are in survival, will make us believe all these crazy ass stories that are not true. So, but I would say like, I've been 13 years an entrepreneur now. I would say the first 10, at least, just like having this feeling that I'm just never going to figure this thing out. This thing called life, it's just never going to figure it out. And then I think in the last 3 years, and this again, I think is what the feeling I have that going into my 40s is going to dissolve even more, is like, there is no getting it right. I don't need to figure anything out. I just need to show up every day to whatever is presented to me and do my best.
Yeah, that's a great attitude, because we don't know what the day is going to bring. And so we can't, you know, we can have a strategy around how we want to, you know, handle the day and some things. I'm going to record a podcast with Jen. I'm going to do my grocery shopping, whatever I need to do in the day. But then, you know, we got to be open to, hey, you know what, if you turn on the Zoom and the person's not there, or, you know, something happens and you can't go grocery shopping, you've got to be able to say, well, I'm going to take whatever the day brings.
Exactly. Just have flexibility around how things end up evolving, because we can plan. Like planning is fun. It's a human thing. Our brains love it. But it's just finding that balance where we're not gripping onto our plan to the point of suffering if things change directions, you know?
Right. Now, it's interesting that you brought up two things with being awkward. You brought up this idea of not settling or not knowing, you know, not fitting into a box, but also taking on so much feeling. And so I'm curious, when other people, especially when you were younger, saying things like, you know, this is how you are, or projecting their either disappointment or excitement, did you notice that was different? Did you feel different because of your feelings when you were younger, or was there anything else at play?
I felt really different. I actually felt like, I really felt like I was like losing my mind sometimes when I was young. Like no one, I had never had anybody in my life that, well, maybe there was some people that had this level of sensitivity like me, but no one ever talked about it. So I was like, I'm the only human being having these feelings and thoughts. Mm-hmm. So there must be something seriously wrong with my brain. Like I really thought that, yeah, I was really scared of all of the big things that I was feeling, you know, and I've had a lifelong journey with anxiety, like crippling anxiety when I was young. Mm-hmm. which is probably another part of my awkward thing attached to the big feelings.
Right.
And today my anxiety is kind of like, it's this thing that's there, but I don't know how to explain it. I've almost like befriended it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, when anxiety kicks in now, that's like my intuition speaking to me through my nervous system, telling me something is going on here that needs to be paid attention to. So okay. This is why, like, I totally nerd out about talking about the brain and the nervous system work, because it's like the channel through which our intuition helps us feel things so that we can redirect.
Yeah. I love the way you reframe that to be able to say, this is making me aware that there's something that needs to be dealt with, rather than, oh, this is a big scary thing that I have to then feed into these feelings of the anxiety. But if I can say, no, this is natural, it's telling me that there's a sense of discomfort, and that's there for a reason. And now I just need to figure out what that reason is. And if the reason is valid, then I might need to protect myself or take action. And if it's not valid, I need to say, you know what, this is uncomfortable because of A, B, or C, but I know it's not a safety concern, or, you know, maybe a valid, I don't want to say it's not valid, but it's not a safety issue or a thing that you have to run from necessarily. And you can say, well, I've learned to deal with that level of the discomfort.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, anxiety is telling me something about one of three things. It's either telling me something about something that happened in my past that's still conditioned and programmed in my nervous system, mm-hmm. that I haven't yet healed, so that still needs some tending to. Or it's telling me something about the present moment, something that's out of alignment, that is crossing my boundaries, or that needs some shifting or tweaking in the present moment. Right. Or it's telling me something about a perceived fear I have coming in the future.
Okay.
Whatever one that is, like, there's something that can be done with the anxiety in that moment, you know?
Yeah, each one has a little different way to be dealt with.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's eye-opening once you understand the way our body and brain works, because all of a sudden we realize, oh, wait, this feeling is not actually a fact. It's a feeling, it's a gut intuition, and that can be based on facts and circumstances. And like you said, things that have happened in the past are going to project those feelings into our future.
Yeah.
In the moment, we have to sit with them and sort it out, which takes a lot of mental work.
It does. And, you know, I think it's this fear of slowing down, because when we slow down, we feel more. So my crippling anxiety when I was young came from me not wanting to feel what I was feeling, so stuffing it down.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, if I just stop feeling these things, I'm going to just finally feel normal in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the opposite. What I've learned to do is like, no, just be with it and feel it, even though it's like really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then it moves through you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's way less anxiety, you know?
Oh, yeah. Now, you said something a couple minutes ago about how you didn't see anybody that had this level of feelings, and there was nobody around you that you saw that could be anything like this. And like you said, there probably were some out there that weren't sharing. And that's one of the things I notice when you look at, we watch these videos, these movies, where it's a common theme where people get together years after high school. I don't know if you've seen Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, but like that kind of idea where everyone thought everyone else had it made in high school, and here we are getting close to 40, and all of a sudden we're realizing that, wait, they were insecure, they had a feeling, and we just didn't talk about it back then. One of the things I'm curious about is, do you remember the first time you encountered someone else, or where you learned that other people had this level of empathy?
Yes, I remember exactly when. So when I was going through like my really challenging teenage years, and I was like such a angry, rebellious teenager, like mm-hmm. my poor mom, I made her go through so many things. I think my mom was like really desperate to like get me some support.
Right.
Well, for some reason, her intuition guided her to connect me with one of her best friends who was an artist.
Okay.
And I started doing abstract painting with my mom's best friend. And she's the one who also introduced me to yoga. So these two things happened at the same time.
Okay.
And then I went on to become a yoga teacher and then a yoga therapist because that whole journey healed me. But in the painting classes, you know, I ended up being in this group of really awkward people with like lots of big feelings and lots of creativity and lots like out of the box kind of people. And I just started to see these kinds of human beings like in their paintings and their art, you know?
Yeah.
And the teacher who was my mom's best friend was, she was all big feelings. Like she was exactly that. Like she became such a mentor to me. And, you know, we come from a really small town and people like her and I are seen as like these kind of weirdo, quirky kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt really nice to be with people like that. And I remember, you know, my anger would come out in my paintings a lot. And then I would get really angry with my painting and I'd be like, this is so ugly. I hate it. It's stupid. No. I don't want to do it. And like, essentially what was coming out of my painting was how I was feeling about myself. Right.
Wow.
And she would not let me step away from it. She's like, you are not stopping this. You're going to paint until there's no more paint.
And so like, I will go get more paint and we will make this. Exactly. We will finish this.
Yeah. So she would really like, she would make me stay there and be with the feelings until they all came out. So that was, I would say, when that happened.
Yeah. That is beautiful and so amazing that you had someone in your life like that, that could force you to work through those feelings.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, you know, our habits are to cope and to stuff the feelings and to, you know, whether you're eating or whatever your habit is, sometimes people disguise their coping things with other healthy looking things like running, or, you know, it's like, I'm going to go to the gym and get, you know, I'm going to stuff these feelings with working out, and you can't say I'm not eating or drinking. So it's not a bad habit, but in reality, it's the result is just as bad on your mental side.
And yeah, there's all kinds of addictions.
Yeah. And that's such a gift to, at that point in your life, for your mom to have found that for you.
Yeah, it really was. And it completely shifted my life. I honestly, like, if I would not have met her, gone through that experience with her, it actually scares me to think of how much darker things would have gotten for me.
Sure.
And that is, again, I think really tied to the purpose and everything I do is really anytime I'm with somebody, my intention is for them to feel really seen, heard, and understood as they are.
Yeah.
Like nothing needs to be changed. You don't need to adapt to the world. The world can adapt to the uniqueness of who you are. And I think when we give ourselves permission to just be who we are and do what we want to do, there's a freedom. And what gives me the most anxiety today, where I'm at now, is actually really rigid people. Like people who are like very left brain, very living with a lot of rules and a lot of structure and like over micromanaging. That gives me anxiety.
That's fair. I it's interesting to encounter different people with different mindsets because I want to understand where they're coming from, you know, because we're all coming from some different space and different set of circumstances that, you know, maybe their life was in such disarray that this was their way to bring order out of that chaos, to always be on top of everything. But if you're not that person, it can be, anxiety provoking.
Well, I think it gives me anxiety because I can feel their anxiety underneath all of that.
Oh yeah.
Controlling and structure, you know? So like the anxiety I feel is like just wanting to like soften them a little bit.
Yeah. Like it'll be okay.
It'll be okay, exactly. And I know and I remember because I was very much like that as well. It's a way to protect ourselves and feel safe.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's really interesting. This is what I love, and this is the whole purpose of this show is to see a different side of people. And it's just this moment of you talking about this rage behind this art that you were creating. And it just reminds me how we meet people at a space and time where they've done a certain amount of work, or they maybe haven't done the work yet. And we don't know, on the surface where they came from. And, I met you, and you are this peaceful, calm, Zen person who just, like, I'm like, oh, what a nice life you've always had with no problems ever. I mean, not that I don't live, keep my head in the clouds like that, but it's amazing to hear how unsettling that was. But that's what got you to this peaceful place. And it's a beautiful story.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of our lives are peaceful, and I don't think they're meant to be either, you
Right.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that I appreciate you mentioning was that you don't just have this, I'm solved and I never have these moments again, or our brains step in and say, hey, here's a little anxiety for you today, or here's a
Yes.
little extra dose of feelings that you thought you had this all under control. How do you step through those moments without feeling like you are back to that I'm quitting everything again stage of being a preteen?
Well, I for me, community is really important. And so I have a really tight circle of incredible people in my life that we like co-support each other, you know? So I'm a Cancerian. I'm an open book. When I feel something, my people know it. When I'm struggling, my people know it. When I have success, my people know it. So I lean into them a lot, and they are my people who I never feel judged by and who constantly remind me of who I am and what I'm capable of. Again, something that was gifted to me when I was a teenager, which comes back to like that little community of artists that finally helped me feel like I wasn't broken. And so it has been important for me throughout my life to just keep that kind of community of people around me. And again, like I believe that in entrepreneurs, we create what we have always needed or still need in our lives. So everything I've created within the school, like it's the space I would have needed my whole life and the space that I still need, you know? So that's why I want people to feel like they have someone to lean into to feel seen, heard, and understood, and then be able to take their next step forward. So that has always been my strategy. There's this GIF going around that I often send to one of my best friends. It says something like, you're the kind of person, or thank you to my friends who, how does it go? It's like, you're the kind of person who you ask all of your friends their advice, and then you just go off and do the complete opposite, And so I love them for loving me that way because, again, there's no judgment. Like, even if I go off and do the thing that they told me not to do, they will support me and love me. And, that's, I think, what really helps as I
Yeah,
move forward.
I love that, because the value of the friendship and the conversation that you may have had is about getting you through the moment. It's not about whether or not you did the thing that they suggested.
Exactly. It's just like, what is there to learn in this moment? What growth are you moving through? We're always kind of moving through something. And then I also have my own, I've learned to also like lean into myself because it's very easy to lean into other people. So I have my little, weirdo routines at home when I'm feeling like a complete disaster of a human being. I generally sit down with my journal, my tarot cards, and I just journal things out, get confirmation, from something higher than myself. And Yeah, I like doing the thing that makes me feel good and
And I do think that it's important to have. I'm big on strategy. Like I don't consider myself that hardcore left brain type A, but I do believe in having strategy. And one of the things that I'm a big proponent of, and you just touched on it, is having a plan for when things go wrong or for when there's a dark day.
yeah.
Because that's not the time to make those decisions of how am I going to get out of this, but being like, you know what? I've got my journal and my candle and my tea ready to go. And if like the bad day happens, like, nope, I got to activate my recovery plan right now. And I pull those things out, and you have to have that thing that you can come back to and know before you get into the moment, what are the things that you're going to need? And we don't always, you know, you can't necessarily sit down and go, okay, when the power goes out, I'm gonna need flashlights, battery, candles, whatever. Like we don't know what a lot of times until we experience those things, the power goes out and all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, I can't find my flashlight and I'm out of batteries. And then the next time you're like, oh, now I'm gonna have that ready. And so I think those develop over time.
Yes, I love that. Oh my God, I love that analogy. Like, what do we do when the power goes out? And I think that's how we feel when we like we're a hot mess. It's like, uh-oh, something just shut down. My wisdom has just shut down on me. And, I want to say, because sometimes people are like, oh, but the left brain is important. I'm like, yeah, it is. I freaking love the left brain. Like, I nerd out on left brain stuff. One of my favorite moments is my week is when I sit down with my Excel spreadsheet and I plan out my finances. I love it, But it's like learning to use the left brain for the right things, like really keeping it aligned with, keeping it in its lane. And we're not using it for the wrong things, like, don't use your left brain to deal with your emotions or your healing necessarily. You know what I mean? But use your left brain to strategize what's going to happen when you shut down. So it's like this system that we get to live in, this body and brain and nervous system that is co-creating our lives with our intuition and this whole spiritual thing. Sorry, that was my alarm. Really. It's so magical, honestly.
No, I love that, because I love that you call out that there is a place for both, because that's one thing where when you live in one side more than the other, it's sometimes hard to see the value in what the other's bringing, but
Yeah.
everything has its place. And when I was in the worst parts of life changes and all this stuff, and my friend and I, we had coffee or we'd go for hikes and we called it friend therapy, and we would just share all of our problems and try to sort them out without any medical degrees.
I love it.
But you need that friend, right? But one of the things we would constantly say to each other is like, we're just the problem we're running into is we're trying to logically explain emotional things. Like they're apples and oranges. They're speaking two different languages, and we're trying to use this language to understand and rationalize this emotional thing that we're going through. And it just is what it is. You can't do that.
Exactly. It's really making sure your internal system is like everyone's in the right role doing the right job.
Like, don't you stay over there when it's time for the budget, we'll bring you out. And right now we're having our moment.
Exactly. I actually use managing our finances as an example often when I'm talking about like when to use the left brain and when to use the right brain. And we often switch things around because it feels more safe that way. But like a lot of human beings, including myself, sometimes we right brain how we spend our money and how we manage it. And then we left brain how we make our money. So, and then we get frustrated because we're like, we hit a wall and we're like, there's not enough revenue coming in and not enough opportunities coming in. But it's because we just keep recycling what we already know. We're not stretching ourselves out into the infinite potential of where the right brain can go. And then we right brain how we spend and manage our money. We just go with the flow, buy the
Feels
thing,
good.
it feels good. And then we're like, I was going to swear. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear here, but we
Well,
don't, right? I don't have enough money at the end of my month. What the hell happened? Well, we
yeah.
just versed how, like, we're supposed to be using our internal system. And we just do that with a lot of things in life.
Yeah, and I think that using the finances is such a great example because I've thought about that from the, you're using this mindset because I have the Excel spreadsheet. It's funny, I was doing my weekly finances yesterday because it's something I do. That's just how I handle it.
Yeah.
But I hadn't thought about the right brain aspect about the shopping and the spending. And it's like, oh, well, as soon as you said that, light bulbs were going on. I was like, oh yeah, that causes some problems.
Exactly. So imagine if we, like, when we're thinking about our business growth and making more money or even making a bigger impact, whatever that is, if we lean into our right brain instead, try things we've never tried before, play with ideas that are completely weird and awkward, test things, take some risks, play with ideas, do some beta runs of things, just to try it. Like, it's in those moments where we open ourselves up to potential that was, like, sort of dormant there. And we couldn't access it because we have, like, moving forward with these, like, I just want to keep moving forward with what I know because that's what feels safe. And then we, like, nothing happens or nothing exciting happens.
Yeah, that's such a great point because it's safety, and I feel like so often one of the things that I talk to people about is how we will stay in a certain space out of fear until a bigger fear comes along, until all of a sudden we're afraid of being stuck in that space, and now all of a sudden we get a burst of courage we never knew we could have.
Yeah.
And that's that, that survival mode kind of kicking in. But same thing with finances. It's like, okay, if I can then think, well, what if this is all I ever have? If
Yeah.
I can scare myself a little bit into getting creative.
Exactly. It, absolutely. I love that. Scare myself a little bit into being creative.
Okay.
100%.
Well, I think this is a great lead in to find out about what you're doing in the world. Tell us about the School of Intuitive Leadership and what you do as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I mean, the school is kind of like we were talking about before. It is a space, a community of building our lives and our business the intuitive way, the right brain way. So from a place of curiosity, creativity, imagination, possibility, all of that nice, fun stuff. And it's a space of, I'm gonna go ahead and say that it's a space of healing, of learning, and growth, because these three things are happening all the time. In order for us to have the courage to lean into something scary, there's healing that needs to happen. And, like, what is keeping you stuck in that place where you're feeling so scared to make a mistake or so scared to make the wrong decision or take the wrong path, you know? So it's a journey of personal growth and personal leadership, and we do it together. And people, there's, like, a mix of content in the school, so, like, lessons that come out every couple of weeks, guest speakers that come in and teach us awesome things like you're gonna be doing.
I'm looking forward to it.
Exactly. And I make myself available a couple of times a month for coaching. And we have some co-working sessions. So it's a place where we get to play with ideas and brainstorm and work through stuff. And then we implement and take action. I'm a really big believer in taking action. Even if you completely mess things up, like, let's do it together and move through that fear together so that we can break past that wall of limitation, so that you can experience what you're actually craving to experience. So yeah, it's the school that I would have always wanted and needed, and a space for entrepreneurs to just really nurture their potential and take the actions they want to take with us.
And I love that you've created this space because I think that One of the things that I struggled with when I got started running my own business was, and I even shied away from using the word entrepreneur, like for a long time. It's hard to identify with that. But was that I felt like there was this way you were supposed to be in that space.
Yeah.
And I didn't fit in with that. And so to hear that there are other options, that there are ways you can explore and grow and have this community of support that isn't, you know, in the same mindset of you've got to do it this way, this way, this way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I actually think by the time this episode comes out, we will have launched a new course. It's a free course that you'll be able to take, and it's an introduction to intuitive leadership.
I
So
love
it's like
that.
the foundational pieces that I teach, and that I believe everyone needs to go through before becoming part of the community. So that should be out by the time this episode comes out. And yeah, and I have a book coming out, also called "Say Yes to Your Yes: How to Trust Your Gut and Take the Leap." That's coming out for my crossing my fingers here. It's supposed to come out for my 40th birthday. So it's like a celebration of all of this for me and the world.
And can
So
you
yeah.
say that one more time? Say yes to the yes.
Say yes to your
Your
yes.
yes. I love that
Yeah.
title.
Yeah. It's like, because your yes is okay. We're really, everything is on do not disturb. Everything is on silence. There's still something trying to come through for us.
There's some intuitive thing happening in the universe that wants your
I
attention.
mean, something. I'm just going to turn the phone off. Clearly, technology is not working for us. So our yes is our intuitive compass, right? It's when our intuition is saying, yes, go this way, or no, don't go that way.
Okay.
So that is what this book is about. It's really helping people find that, well, understanding how the intuition works, and being able to learn the language of their intuition, and being able to find the courage to then follow that path.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. I can't wait to read it. And
Thank you. I'm
so looking forward
excited.
to it. I just feel like every year in life, and maybe this is since I'm a little beyond 40 now, maybe I feel like as soon as I hit 40, every year I've just continued to level up even more. And it's books like this that I look forward to because I feel like I have a better base to build on now. And I go, oh, you know what? Sometimes I watch something and I'll read something and I'm like, oh, that's I like I'm tripping over my words here, but I was just listening to a recording yesterday that is about speaking and, you know, just honing my speaking skills. And they were talking about this process to go through. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've been doing that. And this just gives me permission to lean into it and say, oh, I was doing it right. But, or sometimes it's that something felt at odds and it's like, oh, that didn't quite feel right. And so now I have this, I can feel okay about why it didn't feel right and explore how to fix it. And I just feel like this is one of those books that's going to help me level up to the next thing and watch out, world.
You're right. Hey, watch out, world. Yes, exactly. And that's really what I want. I just like the work that I'm doing. I just want people to feel like they have their place in the world, do the thing that feels good to them, and just trust that that is going to pave the perfect path for them. Yeah, it's really, really what I want people to do. It's what I want to speak about. So you've inspired me so much. You've reminded me of how important it is for me to be out speaking about the work that I'm doing, in businesses and communities, just really keep elevating people to their highest potential.
Well, thank you. There's a lot. There's a mutual inspiration going on here, so I love it.
Yes.
Now, Jen, we do have links in the description of the episode to all of your social media. So, everybody, as soon as you're done, before you go on to the next thing you're going to listen to, make sure that you click on those, explore some more. Is there one area that's best for people to follow you, or is there an area that you're more active?
Instagram for sure. And like I said before, I'm an open book. So on my Instagram, you will see just the human version of me in my daily life, with a mix of what I'm doing in my work. So I would say Instagram and LinkedIn are the two places that I hang out the most. It's so funny, right? a left brain space and a right brain space.
Yeah. I love that. I am always at odds with my social media, and I think it didn't even click until just now when you said that, because it's like I'll lean into one and then I'll float back to the other, and then like but finding ways to use them both the right way. And I feel like I'm just now starting to kind of get a little better at that.
Yeah. And I just want to just slip in one more thing here, because it's coming to me and it feels so important. And I think it's related to the work that you're doing also. It's supporting both of our messages. You are not less credible if you own your awkward and you do the thing that feels right to you. So when I was like fully promoting myself as an intuitive business advisor, like you will see me playing with tarot cards on my socials, hired as a United Nations consultant. And they actually let me give a talk on intuitive leadership.
Wow.
I think one of the reasons why we don't just own who we are and what we want to do in the world is we feel like we're not going to get as many opportunities and we're not going to be as credible or taken as seriously. And so I bring this example up all the time, because I'm like, if the UN,
right,
like this woo-woo, sometimes not woo-woo, intuitive right. leader, and for me, that's just proof that you are valuable leaning into who you are, exactly as you are.
I love that. That is such a beautiful reminder, because, you know, this is the thing that I'm always talking to people about, is that we feel like that thing that makes us different is going to make us stand out. And when we were younger, when no one was talking about having feelings, or no one was talking about all these things that we all have in the back of our head, we trained ourselves and we trained the people around us to not be different. And right. when we're doing that to others at that age, we're not realizing the damage we're doing and to them yeah. and ourselves. But you know, you fast forward to years later and you think, I still have this belief in the back of my head. Even if I have logically told myself I don't believe it, it's still ingrained there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet embracing it is going to be what's going to make me step out and be different. And people are going to say, look at Jen. We've never had a tarot card reader come talk, and this would be awesome. And yeah. and it can feel a little bit like you're sometimes when I first did it, I felt like it could be a little bit almost like I was being patronized or played to, like, oh, isn't that cute? You're doing your thing. But people right. truly are curious. And so you have to get past that insecurity too of being played to.
Absolutely. And I think other people's judgment or weird reaction around who you are is just a reflection of their fear of owning
right.
their awkwardness or weirdness or uniqueness, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I always remind myself that anytime someone is like dumping their fear on me, it's not about me not being able to trust what I want to do. It's about them like making them uncomfortable of stretching out of that comfort zone.
Yeah. I love that. Well, mm-hmm. before we go, how would you challenge people to own their awkward this week?
I would challenge people to own their awkward by saying yes to the next thing they want to do, no matter how ridiculous it seems, unlogical it seems, risky it seems. Say yes to the next thing that your soul is telling you to do, and just own that, and you're going to step more into who you are and just honor the unique, awkward, incredible human being you are.
I love that. That is beautiful. So that's going to make me think, I've got more awkward to own, and I got to challenge myself to step right. on. Okay, what am I saying yes to today?
Exactly.
But it's such a beautiful challenge, because it takes us in, it takes us into that moment that might feel a little uncomfortable and forces us to be brave through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are such an inspiration. I'm so, so excited to have you come speak at the school. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. I am really looking forward to it, because I know I will learn a lot just from being there with the group too. So it's going to yeah. be going to be awesome.
Thank
well,
you.
Jen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. I One of the problems with being a speaker is that I get paid to speak and I love to talk. And sometimes I have to remember it's when it's time to shut up. But this has just been so amazing. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here. And I agree. I could talk to you for hours. So we need to have more coffee chats together.
We definitely do. And everybody else, thank you for being here. Be sure that you do your homework, follow up, follow Jen, check out the School of Intuitive Leadership, and get your book on her book on your wish list so that you can be ready for that when it comes out. Say yes to your yes. That's going to be a life-changing book, I can tell.
Thank you so much.
And as always, own your awkward. Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.